down, but I managed to salvage this tape recorder in the cargo hatch. Jake, Marlon, David, gone. It's been a few days, but I'm waiting to see if this radio will dry up. This heavy recorder. Boy. Some weekend getaway, huh? Some weekend getaway this is. As if that last stint in the big house wasn't enough.
So this is what it's really like to be fucked and isolated. Oh boy. I think it's healthy to go through periods of socialization as well as periods of isolation, despite the general consensus being to avoid extremes. Sometimes extremes are great teachers. Before I landed here, I was a busy man that always felt like he was missing something really important. When we think of rites of passage, it's usually the thoughts of a boy sent through the trials his father puts him through to earn his stripes of manhood. There is usually some sort of natural quest he must endure. But life can also bring us to our limits without human aid or need of fathering. Have you ever endured something transformative? It's usually the beginning of an adventure when things start to go awry, that frustration seeps in. But it's not long before guilt and redemption, those two notions kind of seep in as well. It's like scum bubbling up when boiling a bone broth. Around the time I just turned 21 or 22, I was dating a girl, and it happened really suddenly, but it was the chemistry that transpired was ultimately a transformative one. Because although she came into my life very quickly and left very quickly, she left a big mark. And it wasn't until after when I realized how much I really harmed the situation that I started to really take into account who I was. Even though she wasn't the only one that forsook me at the time, I think it was a cumulative abandoning by all things that I perceived to be good. But I think that in the end, it was this great abandoning and the lack of immediate deliverance that enabled me to become extremely aware or hyper aware of my shortcomings. As well as the old pains. I think that might be one of the reasons why isolation is seen as a punishment, because you're confronted with the deep recesses of your mind. Of course, since human beings are social beings, most of the time that ends in insanity. But then why have sensory deprivation tanks? Why go into meditation? And why do great northern countries, northern areas that are dark half the year, yield some very thoughtful people? Or at least in comparison to those of tropical areas. Usually philosophers seem to come from remote places, mountainous regions. But then maybe I'm completely missing entirely on those ones that come from remote Pacific islands. Of course, there are wise men everywhere. Then you look at people like Moses, who apparently went up to, what was it, Mount Sinai? Am I getting that right? And then he came back with a tablet, having spoken to God, allegedly. And then you think about what God is to some, to a lot of people, it's not really a man sitting on a cloud behind pearly gates with a white beard. To a lot of people, it's just a form of the higher self. And if Moses didn't talk to God, maybe he talked to his higher self. But it's definitely something I've endured. Maybe not to that scale. But maybe this is really how it is, just to be fucked and isolated.
What the fuck is that? What is that, a transistor?
This will make it out to anyone, but if by some stretch of a miracle let my family know that, what's the use? I don't think this thing is even on. this thing's even on. God damn, I don't think this thing's even on.
I found myself hanging off the side of a steep ledge. The grass looked deceptively dry that day. I imagined the rainy season had left the earth beneath really, really moist. And the humidity kept it soft and poor footing for my climb. I slid off almost entirely before dropping my extra weight. It was a close call. Before I yelled out, I silenced myself. Who's gonna hear me in this alien place? Who's gonna hear me here? Devoid of the sympathies of other animals that look like me, why scream? Why scream? The beasts here don't care or even understand. There is a space where the fear and agony once were. It's a space that enables me to be still again and to regroup. The circumstances fit better after the shock now. You know, my personal experiences with the shock, like many others, comes in different forms because that's life, right? Car accidents come to mind. You know, it's such a weird circumstance to be hit by a car. Knock on wood. Nothing really too bad ever happened to me, but it's interesting to note the moment before the accident and the moment after, because it seems like life is completely just flowing along normally until another moment where sirens may flash or speculators gather, and then you're having to find yourself focusing on trading information with the person that hit you or the person you hit. And life as you know it has changed to greater and lesser degrees. I mean, have you been hurt? If so, is it going to require therapy? I mean, that takes chunks out of your day, but what happens when something really bad happens? You know, when you have to move out of a location. You have to leave the country. You have to leave the city. You're stuck someplace. After the initial shock wears off, provided that you're not damaged physically, you begin to embrace your circumstances as a place of freedom, then resourcefulness, and possibly gratitude. Because it's circumstances like those that teach you things. And it's in my experience that usually the dawn comes, as they say, after the blackest part of night. When the purge finishes, and the proverbial tears dry, the sinuses become clear and the breathing is deeper. You begin to take things in for what they are. And it's then that nature, it could be said, has molded you and formed you into its image. And you survive. And once you collect yourself and become familiar with your environment, you begin to look for the things that make life easier in the circumstances you're in. I found a drum. It happened one night. The palms of the lagoon stopped breathing between the rains.
You're beginning to understand.
My hands still vibrating from the skin of my drum. Each 7 days, a rapture when I sew for it a rhythm. And it returns to me the life to bang it. I'd met God just the night before, but tonight he wiped my tears of bliss and locked me to the mangroves. On this night, my island lay sleeping, though still writhing from the gentle touch of sylphs. There I sat with my creator, beneath 1,000 thousands, blue celestial heavens, there in the lagoon where I first had cursed him, thanked him, loved him. Under the trees I watched in meditation, the rain poured before me. Slowly had she presented herself, tucked shyly under locks of hair, with wide and bashful eyes. There, right under the blue fronds of the mangrove trees, were the eyes that longed to comfort me. Clutching softly against the trunk were the softest hands I dreamt to soothe me. There was my Yakshi.
I'm not alone in this place.